Welcome back. This is a Whole Home Podcast. This is the second episode with Becky Rogers, and we're going to play some games. But before I do that, I just have one request for all of you Remnant ladies. If you would you mind sharing the podcast with your community group? I'm always amazed when I go to Remnant One. There are new members every month, so many new members. And if you wouldn't mind helping me get the word out about this podcast to them by dropping just maybe the show link in your community group chat, even maybe the Instagram link too, so they could see the pictures of the women who are sharing the table with me. And I would appreciate that so much. So now, on to games. I was a little at a loss of what to play for the new season. So I thought up some games with my girls, and a couple of them will take a lot of planning. So I just am rolling in with an easy game for you. Very, very easy.
I'm all about easy.
Okay, so this was Ivory's idea, because she wanted to know where people like to shop between two kind of rival stores. You just get to tell me, where are you going, Becky? Are you going to Walgreens or CVS?
Walgreens.
Costco or Sam's Club?
Sam's Club.
So far, we are rivals. I'm a diehard CVS lady, and I love Costco pizza. Does Sam's do pizza? Do they do the...
They do, but I don't ever get it, but yes.
Yeah, okay. Starbucks or local coffee?
Both.
Okay. Hardee's or Wendy's?
Neither, but Wendy's, I guess.
Okay. Sonic or Cookout?
I don't eat at these places anymore.
Okay, so it's basically, do you eat would you Sonic. Want an icy or a milkshake?
Oh, well, you could okay. Choose. Then that would be Cookout.
Gelati Celesti or Baskin and Robbins? Or I guess Dairy Queen for you.
Gelati Celesti, yeah.
Target or Walmart?
Target.
Amazon or Etsy?
Amazon.
Kroger or Trader Joe's?
Kroger.
Would you go to the library or a bookstore?
Ooh, mostly a bookstore in my life these days.
Okay. Are you an L.L. Bean or an Ann Taylor kind of girl?
Ann Taylor.
Ross or Old Navy?
Ross.
Aldi or Lidl?
Aldi.
Lowe's or a nursery?
I like both. I actually shop at both.
Finally, would I see you at Cracker Barrel or First Watch?
You would see me at both of those as well, because I've been to both of those in the last month. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, what do you order then? That's what I want to know.
Oh, gosh. Well, at Cracker Barrel, I order the blueberry pancakes. And at First Watch, I like their... the last thing I got there was a frittata.
No bacon?
Oh, I like bacon. I get the bacon. But, yeah, I like a poached egg. I'm a poached egg kind of girl, mm-hmm. but I like eggs, a brunch, any way you take it. And I love the home fries if they're well done.
Mm-hmm. I'm hungry. When you started talking about spaghetti, I was done for. That is my favorite. I love spaghetti so much.
Really?
Yes. I don't know why. All right, now we're going to jump into 5 minutes of questions, so try to answer quickly.
Okay.
All right. Ooh, reaching for the bell. Okay. What was a prayer you prayed today?
A prayer I prayed today. Thank you, Lord, for the breath in my lungs.
If I ran into you at a restaurant, where would you be?
We do Taza pretty often.
Do you know how to play chess?
Yes, but I'm terrible at it. But I don't know it well, but I do know how to play.
If you could become an expert in something, what would it be?
Oh, my. I don't know that I have an answer for that one.
Oh, really? Do you pass?
Well, I'm working on learning to play the piano, so I would love to be an expert pianist, so I'll just say that.
What's your favorite season?
Fall.
What's your favorite chore?
My favorite chore? Do people have favorite chores?
That was my daughter's idea, so I'm like, okay, I'll roll with it.
Oh, probably making the bed, to be honest. I love it when it's nice and clean and pretty.
That is one of my questions. Do you make your bed?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day.
Man.
And if I don't, my husband does.
All right. What was the last thing you watched on television?
Probably a football game. Probably Sunday night football with my husband.
What is your go-to karaoke song?
Go-to karaoke song. Do I have a go-to anything? I can't think of a karaoke song right now.
What is the last skill you learned?
Well, I don't have skills. I don't have skills.
I'm still learning to play the piano. I'm working on that.
Yeah, that counts. Like, yeah. Checked box. Okay, what is your favorite smell? I can't blame my daughters. I came up with that one.
Well, I love the smell of a rose.
What is your favorite cookie?
Probably chocolate chip.
What are you reading?
I'll tell you truthfully, and this...
Okay.
I spend a lot of time reading the Bible right now, so I'm reading that primarily. Mm-hmm. I am reading presently the book by Priscilla Shirer called I Surrender All. It's one of her newer books. I have several books that I'm presently reading, but one of them also is just a novel fun book to read, which is the story of Ove. I can't remember what his name. A Man Called Ove.
It's fun, you said?
It's a serious book.
Uh-huh.
But it's just a novel. And so it is, the story was made into a movie and Tom Hanks was Otto. It was the movie Otto. I don't know if you saw that or heard of it.
Oh, I don't know. I'm interested.
It's an interesting book.
Can you parallel park?
Sometimes. Depends on what car I'm driving.
Yeah. All right. What is something in your life more challenging than you expected?
More challenging than I expected. Well, this season that I am presently in, which is switching gears, it's the sandwich season of taking care of elderly parents versus having grandchildren and taking care of them. And lots of joy in this season, but some aspects of it are way harder than I expected.
Did y'all go on vacation this year?
We did. And you want to know where?
Yep.
You want me to tell you where? We went to Montana and Wyoming.
Okay.
And we went to 3 state parks. National parks. What am I saying? We went to Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons and Glacier National Park while we were there. And they are all beautiful.
Sounds incredible.
It was incredible. It was an incredible trip.
Have you ever received an award or a trophy?
I have. I've received a trophy for that pageant I was talking about that I had talked about when I came in second place. And yeah, trophies for sports and trophies for a trophy for the debate team when I was in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
What was a trophy for?
I don't know. It was a competition.
Okay.
And so we won we placed in
Interesting.
The debate.
I'm impressed. All right. If you were going to write a book, what would it be about?
I've talked about writing a book for years about balance in life. And so someday, going to write that with my husband.
Awesome. Do you collect anything?
Yeah, you would probably say I collect shells. If you came into my house and my room and saw shells from the beaches that I've been to.
How about a book that you want more people to read?
The Bible, to be very honest. There's another book that I absolutely love that is, I always get in my head confused fiction and nonfiction. Nonfiction.
Like facts.
Is facts. Mm-hmm. So it's fiction.
Okay.
But it's based on the book of Hosea. And it's Francine Rivers.
Oh, Redeeming Love?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've read it multiple times.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've seen it in a lot of places, but I've never read it.
Yeah.
Actually, there's one more question I want to ask. I want to know your exact favorite spot in your home.
Well, in my home is relative right now. So what I'm going to say is we added a covered porch on the back of our house. And so it's a part of our home, but it's outside.
Yeah.
And so it's the back porch. We have a very comfortable sofa that we put out there. That's my favorite spot.
All right. So what neighborhood do you live in? Oh, wait. There we go. What neighborhood do you live in and how long have you lived there?
We live in a neighborhood in Chester, Virginia called Chester, Virginia. Listen to me talking like we
like you don't know where I live. We're in another state.
It's called Wellspring Village, or okay. Wellspring is the name of it. We've lived there for 9 years.
Who is in your household?
My husband, Jeff, and myself.
And just number of years, how long have you been coming to Remnant?
6.
And what community group are you in?
Angel and Mike George.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to jump into the garden section of your podcast, Becky, and we'll start with planning and the desires and dreams or plans that you have.
The dream that my husband and I have for our future is to step even deeper into being able to minister to more marriages. What that looks like, we're not really sure. Hmm. What we are doing presently is seeking God and praying as we serve and lead others in some marriage enrichment material, as well as in some Bible study. And then we also are renting space and leading a marriage retreat, which we are getting ready to do our third one in December. And we invite couples for marriage enrichment to come and be a part of that. And our dream is to have a space, a home, that's just really a place of refuge and a place of just seeking God and growing towards each other and helping other couples do that. Mm. And God is right in the middle of that, of course, and He is leading us every step of the way. And what He's calling us to presently is just keep doing the work that I've called you to do.
Right.
Wherever you are. And so that's what we're called to first. But we're praying right now as to whether God really would have us to step into investing in a space that we would be able to have more opportunities to reach more couples.
This has been something that's been part of your past. But unless I forgot, did you comment on, or can you see kind of the through threads kind of leading up to this? Or was it sort of like God calling you into something? You're like, well, I didn't see that coming, you know, as far as marriages are concerned. And then he equipped you for it because he called you.
Yeah. So one part of our story that I did not share prior was just that when we were first married, we were basically challenged by some folks who said, you guys aren't going to make it. And a couple of different opportunities that, well, I wouldn't really call it an opportunity, occurrences that happened. People spoke that into our lives. And at that point, you know, I think when somebody tries to speak that into your life, you have an option. You have an option to receive it and go, yeah, you're right. You know, we give up, you know, when things get hard or whatever the case may be. Or your second option, which we chose, was to dig our heels in and say, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. We're not just going to, you know, step into this marriage and have a good marriage. We're going to have a great marriage, and God's going to use it because yeah. we're giving it to Him. And so when we made that commitment, you know, that I shared the note that I read from my spiritual journal to step into missions, over the years of our relationship, God just grew us, and we had a couple that very early in our marriage, within the first 2 years of our marriage, that invested in us. And they took us to our first ever marriage retreat. And it was through Lifeway, and they were doing them at Ridgecrest in Asheville, North Carolina. And this couple said, you guys really We'd love to invest in you. And so from that point, our marriage really began to grow so much. And we went to many of those retreats under their leadership. And but that first one was the one that was unprecedented. They paid our way. They drove us there. It was a gift that they poured into our lives. And it so impacted us that as we would go to these retreats, we both felt like we saw ourselves doing that one day. And so we saw potential of doing what these people were doing. And so on a much grander scale. And in that same light, we led some retreats that were larger, that were church-wide at our previous church. And we have spoken at other churches. But God just kept impressing upon me to go to that individual, you know, to that couple, to meet people where they are instead of trying to be on a platform, instead of trying to have a platform. And so God just has continually grown our relationship. Every time we have been to a retreat, we have really enriched our own marriage. And then every time we have prepared to teach, so much time is invested in that. And our marriage has just grown, and our personal relationships with the Lord have grown so much. And so we just kept crying out to God and saying, "What next, Lord? What is next?" Mm-hmm. And he put that on our heart to invest in people and use the money to rent a space and take people who, the ones that we have reached out to so far that we have shared with are pretty early in their marriages, most all of them so far. That doesn't mean really that that's the way it's going to continue. We hope to include any couple that wants to, you know, be a part of that in the future. We just don't know where that might go from here.
So can you point to why marriages? Speak to a little more. Why marriage?
God ordained marriage. It was God's idea, and marriage is a beautiful picture. It's not the only picture, but it is used very poignantly in the New Testament of the relationship with Christ and the church. Christ being the bridegroom and the church being the bride. And we are put together, we are brought together, and we become one in the eyes of Christ. And our relationship is to serve the purpose of glorifying God as one. And the world, the culture, the age we have lived in, marriage is so under attack. And it is it's the family. It's the backbone of the family, right? Sure. And the family is how God's kingdom grows. And so our hearts in our early days were so compelled towards the struggle that so many men and women have of surrendering their lives and what that looks like, that they're going into marriage not really understanding what they were going into, but also it's such a need And we are so moved by God to help people seek to surrender to Christ and to uphold the commitment that they have made to each other.
Yeah.
And there's just such an attack on the family. And we've always been just so heartbroken over divorce and people making choices because they're selfish, because of their selfish right. ways, and how that impacts and the ripple effect that it has on everyone around them and people yeah. for generations.
For generations.
We just want to see the generations following after God. And that's, you know, we're trying to, though our parents were not divorced, we have widespread, you know, family situations where marriage has not been honored.
Yeah.
And God certainly has not been center in those relationships. And it's just such a need.
Yeah.
There's so much need in that this area of getting it right, of being able to surrender.
A lot of us have not seen a godly marriage. And I can imagine that, I mean, you and Jeff probably really help people to see, like, struggle or difficulty does not necessarily have to mean crisis or, you right. know.
Right.
It's all a wash now because there's a difficulty that's come up or something like that.
Yeah, and I do know that we do tend to look at other people's lives and make assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And then we think that because others look like they have it all together or have been together for a very long time
mm-hmm.
in a marriage, that they've never had struggles,
mm-hmm.
that they've, you know, you don't know what I'm going through. And sure, we don't know individually what each person is going through because of the different things that we bring to the table and our stories all being so different. But we are walking the same road as husband and wife,
mm-hmm.
and we're called to the same commitment and to each other, but first to the Lord. And so we have had a lot of folks tell us that, and we ourselves did not have a lot of examples that were strong,
mm-hmm.
strong, solid marriages. And, you know, some of that comes from our own parents. You know, there's certain aspects that we all bring from our family of origin that we recognize is not right or how we want to do things going forward. We bring the good and the bad. And then we figure out what we're going to do with that, you
yeah.
know? How is that going to translate into our children
mm-hmm.
and then their children? And so that's where God has drawn us, has continued to draw us to that this is important. The individual is important, but you've made a choice to come together as husband and wife. So we need to work on this.
So before we move on, I want to say, do you have anything we could be praying about, any needs for this dream? Or?
Well, prayers that God would just continue to allow us to really be transparent with others and allow other people in, and that He would guide our steps, but that He would also bring people alongside us who can be in it with us, I guess, if you will. And where we are right now in the prayer is that God is just continuing to tell us to keep stepping forward. But I mean, just the word He gave me today was fast and pray and sacrifice. You know, that it's going to be sacrifice. And so take that next step and begin to set aside and sacrifice toward that goal, and I'll show you what the, you know, as you go, what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, our prayer would just be that people would pray first and foremost for each other's marriages, and that we would lift each other up, realizing that we all have very, very similar struggles in this thing we call marriage and family.
Spaghetti and waffles.
That's right. We're all spaghetti and waffles. We're just men and women, and we're different, and we have to struggle through the fight of that and fight for, you know, that I get one of our pastors once said that we talk about everything being a fight. Why does everything have to be a fight? Well, some things are worth fighting for.
Yeah.
And this is worth fighting for. And so, yeah, so the prayer would be that God would continue to bring people. He's been so faithful. It's been so encouraging. It's crazy, truly, in my 40 years of really walking with the Lord, to be at this stage of my life and know that God hears me and He answers my prayers. But I get so excited when the prayer is answered, like, right in front of me. It's just like, God, I prayed for this and You heard me.
Yeah.
You know, I trusted You with it and You brought the person. You know, You put this person on my heart, and they verified that there's a need. And so I just am so full of gratitude every time, and awe every time. It's just like, okay, Lord, I'm going to ask. I feel You leading me toward this person. And He's just like, yeah, here they are.
Yeah.
And they confirm that. So
what a joy in that.
So much joy.
Yeah.
I love that.
Let's go to sowing. This is seeds. Seeds that you're sowing, or God's sowing in your life right now. New things. What do you got?
Well, for the past 3 years, I have been unofficially/officially retired from doing physical therapy full time. And when I first left that job, God began to speak into my heart that He had something else for me, and He wanted me to step away. And so the pandemic hit, and days at work got less and less. And that was good. That was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But what I learned during the pandemic that has continued over the past 3 years and is still continuing today is how to sit in God's presence and to be still with Him and to hear from Him.
Mm.
And that has not been something over the course of my life that I have been good at. I'm just going to say, I'm a doer. I get achy when I sit too long. Yeah. So I'm physical in doing things, and physical therapy, you know, that makes sense, right? I didn't even plan that. But so to be in the Word, to sit and be still and know that He is God, to learn what presence actually means and feels like amongst all the noise that we allow, you know, that the world is coming at us with.
Yeah.
So I say that to say, over the past 3 years, learning to do that for longer periods of time and having been given the opportunity, I've really grown in that area. And as of late, He's continued that same space and asking me to become more of a prayer warrior, on an intercessor for others, and faithful with that. I've been sure, like every Christian does, hey, I'll pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that statement, when I say it now, means so much more than it used to mean. And so that's one of the things that he's sowing into my life, is to put things in place, like the notebook, you know, write things down, reach out to people to let them know you're praying for them, to be an encourager, and then to listen, to be in the Word and listen to what God has to say. And so one of the things that over the last couple of years, I read a book. I have it. It's a beautiful book, so it's on my coffee table. It's called Beholding and Becoming, and it's by Ruth Cho Simons. And she talks, it's a devotional book, really, is what it is. And so she has a chapter or a couple of pages on beholding and then on becoming. And basically, and they go together in each little section. So, and it's based on what you're beholding and then what you become as a result of that. And so taking it back to the pandemic, one of the things that happened during that time was I was learning, what am I looking for? You know, God would, it really happened. Jeff was called into work, to work away from home for all of 2020 down at the beach. And that's the only way he was going to keep his job. And so I went down there a lot.
Wow.
And so the company was paying for the hotel room, and it was pretty cheap to get a oceanfront room. And I would go for long walks on the beach, which is really my happy place. and one day I was just talking to God, and I looked and I just asked him, I said, God, just show me your love for me and show me a visual representation of that. Literally, one of the next steps that I took, there was a heart-shaped rock, and it was shaped in a heart. And so I began to look for that. And I found several on that walk. And what God just really said to me in that moment was, you'll find what you're looking for. So what are you beholding, and what are you fixing your eyes on? And he's just teaching me, fix them on Jesus first, others next, and myself last. And he keeps telling me that part, just so that I can become a warrior on behalf of others.
This is a total side note, but I learned that there is no Hebrew word for presence. And so whenever you see that written in English in your Bible, the meaning behind what the Hebrew word would have been, it would have been his face.
I have heard that. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Made me think about what you're sharing.
Face.
Now.
Yeah.
So it's not your next to God. He's looking at
your face. Yeah, you're looking him in the face. Yeah.
And that's where the Bible tells us the light comes from. It's from his face.
I love that.
I would like to hear about, I have so many questions on this. You wrote something that intrigued me. Are you going to share about what you're talking about, friends? Or can I lead into that?
Well, yeah, sure. So it's not super deep. So
well, this is, maybe it's the way you worded it. You wrote in here, Jesus first, others next, self last, so that you may become a warrior on their behalf. And I thought the wording made my mind think, okay, so a prayer warrior for your friends means you start with Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm fixing my eyes on.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I want you to talk about.
Well, recently, I probably will say this more than once, but Jeff and I have been going through the Bible, reading the Bible together and studying it together every morning for a long time, but the reading through, like literally straight through and not jumping all around, for a couple of years. And just this recently, we're in Luke, and the story of the paralytic, where they bring the paralytic to Jesus and they tear the roof off because they've got to bring their friend to Jesus. I was so moved by this story, and I have been aware of the story and, you know, read the story But this particular time, it just really struck me that about the idea of intercessory prayer, of bringing friends to Jesus, one of the commentators was talking about how he was healed. This person was healed because of the faith of his friends. And that's what the Bible says. That's the word says that. Mm-hmm. Because of the faith of his friends. And I said to Jeff and I said to the Lord, I want that kind of faith for my friends. And so I've always wanted it for myself. But Christ is saying, hey, girl, this ain't about you. He's been telling me that for a long time. It isn't about you. And so, like I said, I don't have a dramatic. I do have friends who are in desperate need of Jesus. And I have asked myself recently, what cost am I willing to pay to get them to Christ?
Yeah.
And so that's just what he's just sowing in my heart, you know, just a lot right now.
You said earlier, some things are worth fighting for.
Exactly. Exactly. And so those people, you know, we make the mistake, and I have said it so many times, I can't even count. The least I can do is pray for you. Whoa.
Right. Okay.
The most I can do is pray for you, but I have to have the faith
right.
to bring you to Jesus, but also that he has the power.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. He has the power and he has the plan, you know. Yeah, that was just very eye-opening for me. It's just very much a conviction that God is continuing to bring before me.
So is this something that, because God, you know, gives gifts to his body, do you think it's something that he's gifting you in, or to sort of be someone who prays deeply for people, or is it something that maybe you've realized has always been available to you?
I think that we are called to that. I think that if I'm being completely honest, I think that it's a gifting, but I think that it's a skill, it's a command, it's a matter of faith. And so I can speak for myself only, really. I mean, it's a cop-out on my part to say I'm just not gifted in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe rather than a gifting, it's a conviction. And so he's calling me to stand up or to kneel down, you know, mm-hmm. to rise up to that in my life. I also know, because I've been through several seasons in my life, that we go through seasons of our lives where the space and the bandwidth, you know, we all decide what we do with our time. We all make choices and we all have the same number of hours in the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
But our houses are filled at different times and seasons, right? And our attention is pointed towards our family or others in whatever capacity. For my own self, you know, it was my family and raising my family. And now it is family in that I have parents that are needing me more. But he called me out of work, and he keeps, and I keep seeing more and more. There's so much more in the scripture about prayer, about Jesus taking the time to pray. And so, yeah, I just think that it is like so many other I feel like it's a spiritual discipline instead of a spiritual gifting. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That would be called that? That's just the way I see it.
Yeah, I appreciate you going further. I had a funny thought on Sunday. I'm like, why have I never thought this before? I was making a meal, the meal that we were messaging about, and I was praying to be joyful as the day calls for, as all days, you know, call for joy, but especially so, you know, on this wonderful day of rest. And I thought, what would it be like if I was cooking and said, the Lord is coming to my house today? And I thought, how would that change the way I'm chopping this vegetable? Like Zacchaeus style, you know, the Lord is coming to my house today. And I was like, gosh, I want to think that more. And I want to have a conviction, just like you were talking about, more for that to, I guess, I don't know, just a new way of thinking of things like I'm sure you pray every day. You're a woman who loves the Lord, but even to go deeper, I cook meals every day, but to think about in a way of like when you pray for your friends, you're going to the Lord. When I'm cooking a meal, I'm cooking it for the Lord. All of these just little like changes in our mind that keep washing over and washing over and washing over. May it keep being washed in all of the actions of my life and your life and the lives of the women in this church. That leads me into piano.
Well, so my voice has been my instrument my whole life. And by my whole life, I mean, I started singing at a very young age, 4 or 5 years old, and singing like, I don't know how old I was the first time I sang like in church with, you know, like the children's choir or whatever the case may be. But just, I was very young when I started singing, and in public, I was, what, six or seven or eight, I don't remember. But piano, I've always loved piano. And when I was probably in eighth or ninth grade, I saved up my money and bought one of those old upright pianos from somebody, you know, back then. We're talking.
That's what everybody had, right?
Yeah. 70s. It was the piano, right? It wasn't the old upright, like we call it now. And was going to learn piano. And so I did teach myself some things. The sad story of that piano is my brothers helped to move it when we moved one time, and they dropped it. Oh. And it fell apart. So it is no longer. But so my whole life, I've wanted to take piano lessons. So when Jess was growing up, Jeff's parents paid for her to take piano, and then we just didn't. Yeah, it just wasn't a thing. But our kids all can play piano. Some of them have had lessons. Our son is just gifted. Mm-hmm. He just plays by ear, and he's just gifted in that particular area. But I've just always wanted to play, and I've always said, I'm going to learn. I'm going to take lessons. Mm-hmm. Well, so the electric piano that we bought our daughter when she went to Liberty. Our youngest, Lindsay, went to Liberty and was a music major, and she had to have her own piano, and it started acting up, and she needed to do something different recently, and she gave it back to us and said, y'all, can y'all store this? And so we have it set up, and I just decided I'm just going to start learning. Mm. And so I've been teaching myself using YouTube videos.
Nice.
And really what it's become is there, I know how to read music, and I already have a lot of musical background. And so it may never be a whole lot more, but what I love about it has just really enhanced my worship time. It just gives me that much more,
yeah.
You know,
a fuller sound.
It doesn't feel, yeah. It doesn't feel like I'm practicing piano, and that's just the space that I'm in. You know, I have space in my home that's private and I can go to that and play whenever I want. And I've picked up so much very quickly because I've been in music my whole life. So, yeah, I just feel like that's a little bit of how God is just sowing in me more desire to worship Him and to incorporate worship into worship as in all forms of worship and not just like music as in singing, but that's just an aspect of worship that's a gift to me. I just love it, and it doesn't feel begrudging. Mm-hmm. You know, that I'm not feeling like, oh, I got to go practice. You know, it's not like that. So that kind of is nice in that I'm not paying anybody. And so I don't feel like I'm stressed out about it.
So has this changed you in any way?
Well, I think it has certainly made me I've understood more of different musical aspects that I didn't really understand before. I just kind of nod my head, you know, when people would say stuff. It's changed me in that I'm learning the language even better. But also, it's given me a better ear and ability to play by ear, to just pick out the song.
Yeah.
As I've learned. Yeah, I would say that it's continuing to change me because it's just such a soothing, peaceful time when I step in front of the piano. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's just a time that it feels sacred. It feels very sacred to me. And I don't want Jeff to even come in the room. We have a couple of times he's played guitar and I've tried to play a little bit along, you know, to play a song. I'm not that advanced yet, so it stresses me out.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm just like, I try to go and have that time with the Lord, really, of playing the piano and singing by myself. With no audience.
But one.
Audience of one.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move to something being watered. So, of course, there's so much that you could choose from in your life, but what are things you're active about, tending, stewarding, or praying about?
Yeah, the things that I thought of with this concept is, you know, when you water a garden, when you water a plant, you're watering it so that it will grow, right? Because it needs the nourishment. And so what it made me think of is that one thing that we both teach when we are teaching couples to look towards each other, but also in my own private life, is the art of noticing. And I've heard a couple of people recently refer to this on other podcasts or on other like media outlets. For me, what that means is it started in my life of noticing the people and the beauty around me. And that is a way of growing my unselfishness.
Okay.
And, you know, looking for the good, looking for beauty in others, but just the art of noticing instead of head down, plugging away through life because I've just got to get through it or the day or whatever the case may be. Sometimes it's the week, the month, the season I'm in. I just got to get through it. But to look up, look out, and notice someone's hurting or the bird in the backyard. I mean, you know, there's beauty, and here's the funny thing. I have such a tendency to get inside riled up when people define certain aspects of noticing things by someone's age. Okay. And that's because I'm getting old, okay? So when somebody calls me out and says, well, you're old, you know, because you're a bird watcher or whatever the case may be, specifically birds, then I'm just like, well, now wait a minute. Let's think back. I mean, why are we putting that? Why? Mm-hmm. Why is that a people thing? Yeah. Is it the birds are around you, young people, too? You just don't notice them because you're too busy looking, striving, I don't know, earning, gaining, you know. So this made me think of looking for the good. When I said we teach it with our spouse, of benefit of the doubt for our spouse. We can always find the critical, the thing to be critical about. And I am the worst offender, and I will swear by that. My family probably would agree. I have a critical eye. And so what I'm learning and have been learning for a while now, I'm growing even more every day in looking for beauty and positive instead of what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this picture? Mm-hmm. You know, the highlights magazines, you know, where you're looking for something, what's wrong, what's out of place. Yeah, so many things bring us to that point.
So do you notice with any kind of expectation?
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure I understand it, but it's an interesting question.
Kind of like the hearts. Are you expecting, or are you just sort of like, okay, face value, I'm going to look, see what I find?
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, yes. So, yes. Not always, but if we think about the hearts and that walk, I don't go anywhere now. I don't go to any beach or any pathway, a place where there's rocks, that I'm not looking for a heart-shaped rock. So that whole concept of you'll find what you're looking for is the expectation, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the expectation part. So that example kind of falls flat and can only really go towards that unless we're, you know, looking towards other people with certain expectations.
What's interesting, so maybe this is thinking on the spot. Maybe it's not so much that you have to ground it in what you'll see in the other person, but I'm thinking of something that my husband's really trying to drive home as of late, and that's gratitude. Mm-hmm. So if you can at least look up with eyes of gratitude, then you can, what am I trying to say? I guess just receive God's gifts because you know that they're there in some shape or form.
Yes, and I wholeheartedly, gratitude is one of the, also one of the words that God has been pressing into me. And one of my friends put it this way. She said, looking at what you have or have been given as opposed to what you don't have.
Yeah.
So if I'm expecting, if I'm looking with expectation and gratitude, then I'm looking for the blessing and the thing to be thankful for.
I know there's a heart, Lord.
I know there's a heart.
Mm-hmm.
I know you love me. That was that whole point of that little heart walk, is that God's saying, every step of the way, my love is there for you. And I'm, you know, here's a token, you know, here's a visualization of that, which faith is not seeing, right? And so God graces us with his kindness. He shows us ways that he loves us all the time. We just have to have the right eyes to see it.
Yeah.
Give me eyes to see. And so that's that. You know, that art of noticing. And I like the way you put that, with expectation that I'm going to see the good because I'm looking for it, and I'm going to see the blessing. I'm going to see this person across from me, my husband. I'm going to see his love, not whatever I'm wanting to focus on that may be a lie in my heart that he doesn't really love me because he did this or said this or didn't do something that he should have done, whatever the case may be.
because you put this in the watering section, it just made me think of how when you start to water this expectation, then it's actually not going to be so easy to turn off what you start to see, like the heart of gratitude.
I love that.
So if That's you just so keep true. Pouring the water on, mm-hmm. it's going to be a lot harder to turn the spigot off. So just start.
Yeah. Just yeah. Start. You just have to start. That's mm-hmm. exactly right.
Mm-hmm. So the instruction of silence.
Yeah, so I'm a talker, and I would describe myself as a person, I've always been a loud person, and I've had to learn what it means to be quiet, you know, where the Bible speaks of that gentle, quiet spirit that he calls women to have. I remember vividly a time in my life when that just slapped me across the face. It's like, that is not you. And so I was convicted there. But part of the season that I'm in now is it's silent. It's quiet in my house. It is quiet. Jeff goes to work. Sometimes he works from home, but even if he works from home, it's quiet yeah. because he's in the room with the door shut. And learning just to learn from the silence, it has brought so much more awareness on my part of God's voice, of learning to discern and hear God's voice, because the noise is gone.
Mm.
And sometimes that is literally because of the space that I'm in, physical space, and sometimes I have to put my heart and my mind in that space because the noise that Satan's throwing at me or that the world is throwing that I could be listening to and let be loud in my head
mm-hmm.
is overwhelming. And so I have to bring myself, so I'm learning, I've learned and continue to learn to bring myself into that space of quiet where I can hear God's voice, that still small voice. Yeah, and that happens. The silence is, again, it's not something that is comes natural. It's just not. It doesn't yeah. come natural for me. So being put in the space that I'm in and the season that I'm in, I realize that he's calling me to that more and more so that I can hear him.
Mm-hmm. Which brings you to resting.
Rest, yeah. So I just felt like all of those things, these three things are so strong right now, just that he's teaching me. And I don't know that it's in the right section when you think about the garden, but of watering. Of watering just makes me think of growth. And mm-hmm. so these areas, you know, the discipline of rest is, in my opinion, is practicing the presence of God. And that kind of goes hand, it not kind of, it goes hand in hand with silence and noticing, mm-hmm. you know, noticing where God is working, closing my mouth long enough to hear his voice and not my own, and then resting in the fact that he is present, even when it's noisy in the world, that I can rest in him, but also being okay with physical rest of not being that person that's always the doer.
Mm.
And that these are just areas that I'm growing in, and he's teaching me.
Well, where else would perfect peace be if not in the presence of God?
Mm.
It must be there.
Yeah.
So one last question for me in this section is, what do limits mean to you?
Limits? I don't know. I guess you got to narrow that down a little bit more.
Okay.
So, what limits in what regard?
So I'm thinking of these three things that you're talking about here.
Okay.
The silence, the rest. Well, you already mentioned the fact that you are saying, I don't have to do all these things. It's enough to just be here. I don't have to listen to all these other things. It's enough to hear your voice, Lord. I want to steward my eyes to notice specific things about people. So I think sometimes limits can seem constraining, but I'm seeing you saying that they're actually an avenue of growth for you by focusing down, by, I don't want to say simplifying, like, but coming to these basic places.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I hadn't really thought of it from that light when you think about limits. But that really is a very good way to describe it. What comes to my mind just right off is that I can make myself and things that I desire or want to do or want to be larger than life. And I can push God right out of the equation because I don't have time or space. And so if I'm going to live in perfect peace, if I'm going to understand the peace of God, I have to recognize where I'm doing that, where I'm pushing, you know, asserting myself and bring that under the submission of God and in obedience to Him saying, look here, I'm there, go there. How am I going to know that He's calling me to go there if I'm talking the whole time? Right. If I haven't learned to shut my mouth to listen to Him, if I haven't practiced His presence by being in the Word, which is where I'm going to hear from Him the most, all I hear is all the stuff that replays a lot of times. It's just this rerun in my head. So what I've had to do in my life, and this has been over the course of years, but it continues even now, is slowly turn things off. You know, when my life was super busy, I had to say no, learn to say no, and learn to turn things off, and learn to, you know, not have to fill the space with people and things and activity. And so those are all limits, you know, of setting limits, of learning, if I want more of you, God, then there has to be things that change in my life. And so these particular things are places where He's saying, you know, limit in the art of noticing. Some of that has been in the form of limit your noticing of, like I said before, of the critical. You know, be aware that that's your go-to, and then look for the beauty. So that's that limit there.
Yeah, if me, anyone, like I said, almost with that spigot, if you don't stop the negativity train from pulling out of the station, it's just going to chug. It's just going to take you for a ride.
Well, and I love your analogy. So I'm not sure if this is exactly where you were going, but when you talk about watering, and I think this is where you're going. If the hose is on.
If it's on.
And the water's coming out, whatever you're watering is going to continue to grow and grow and grow and grow. Mm-hmm. So let's make sure that what we're putting water on is growing toward God and not toward me or, you know, the world.
Yeah. How is God training or pruning you in your life right now, if you don't mind sharing? Because one's a little different. One is like pushing you and one is cutting you back.
Yeah. I struggled with this a little bit when I think about like cutting back. I feel like He's pushing me and pressing me more towards others, which I've already said. So I feel like some of these all just kind of blur together. But He's pushing me more towards others and being other-centered and not myself. And then the pruning, I believe, happens when he just shows me where pride and selfishness are coming forth, and he calls me to repent of that.
Mm-hmm.
Confession and repentance, and that's where he's pruning me. So I don't have a really good specific answer in that, like, here's a tangible kind of a thing that I can speak to, but just that my focus is on not building up my own kingdom, but building his kingdom.
Right.
And that is pruning away anything that tends to be more me-centered.
Mm-hmm.
Or building my kingdom.
God is showing you said specifically, selfish thoughts and desires that you have. A lot of times it could just be easy to let thoughts and desires kind of float through us, and they're just a part of us. They can almost be a given. So how do you know when you got to stand toe-to-toe with your thoughts and desires, when you're actually supposed to be opposing them instead of like, yeah, that's just what I feel and what I think?
Oh, man, when it is so obviously of this world or about me, then that's where I've got to really hunker down and acknowledge that this is, okay, that was really just a selfish thought. Or I think one of the biggest ways that God is really training and pruning me right now in this particular area is that the things that I have, my home, our cars, our livelihood, if you will, whatever it is a thing that is not mine in the first place, and that it is God's.
Mm.
And I need to steward it, you know, that I should be stewarding every aspect of my life. And so those kinds of thoughts keep getting brought even to my mind and my heart. And I can remember even saying to you guys at dinner one night, you know, I like nice things.
Yeah.
And I have a tendency to cling to those with a tight fist.
Mm-hmm.
And without the thought being a conscious, I deserve this, God's been bringing to my mind, that's really what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really the heart of this matter, is that, you know, you're acting like, instead of a grace or a blessing or something to be stewarded, it's a thing to be holding tightly to. And so in some of the earlier parts when we were talking about planning and dreaming about space,
yeah,
and investing, it's like, what do I need to let go of?
Mm.
You know, not just what do I need to let go of that is
physical.
Yeah, not just the physical component of this house I live in, let's say, but the comfort, you know, that idol that,
yeah,
that I tend to make of my own comforts. And so, yeah, those are ways that I feel like that's going to be for the rest of my life. He's going to be pruning that kind of stuff from me.
So what encourages you here to train harder?
Well, you know, Paul says, looking toward the goal, I run the race. You know, we're not running for this race we call life in God's kingdom and serving God for our own glory. Certainly not on this earth. And we won't get the glory in eternity, but we will be in the presence of his glory. And so the thing that God just continues to press into me is that this isn't it.
Mm-hmm.
What you see all around you, what's right in front of you, it's not what we're doing all this for. This is for bringing others. It's that faith for my friends, to bring them to Jesus, into the kingdom, so that we can be in eternity together forever with Christ. And so that training and pruning is pressing toward that goal. Mm. I press on toward the goal.
Yeah. Does Jeff help you here at all with these things?
Yeah. Well, yes. One of the things that, you know, he's there for me to confess and to speak, this is what God is showing me. And then he in turn tells me how God is doing the same thing in his own heart, because I'm praying, I'm praying that God will do it in his heart while he's doing it in mine.
Yeah.
Especially moving forward to where God wants us to be.
I feel like the weeding section ties so closely into what you've already been talking about.
Yeah.
So if you want to pull out any other thoughts to continue to paint this picture of what God is taking out so that he can replace, like you said, more glory.
Yeah, the only thing that really I thought of was so cool the other day was when I was thinking about the whole gardening aspect, which I was wondering and just praying and talking to God as I walked. And I walked past the front part of our yard, which had a huge clump of crabgrass growing there. And our yard, we have a lot of nice grass in our yard that we've worked hard to make a pretty yard, nice yard. Barefoot is what we call it, a barefoot yard. You can walk out on the grass barefoot and not worry about, you know, what you're going to step on. And the crabgrass is not desirable. And so I began to pull. I'm one of these people. If I see a weed, I just reach down and pull it up, you know. And so I'll take a second to weed a flower bed, just a few things at a time, whenever I have time. And so I just started pulling this crabgrass up out of the yard. And it just kept going.
Yeah.
And there were little tendrils of it wrapped around all deep into the grass. And it was a picture immediately to me of how these weeds of selfishness and pride, they just get longer and longer the more we water those.
Right.
And they weave so much into the good aspects that we can't, aside from the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we don't recognize that they're woven throughout our whole life. And so I was just really moved by that at that point, that I need to be aware and careful that this is the reason why he is training me and pruning me in this area of selfishness and pride, is because it infiltrates the life, and it has to go.
Yeah.
It has to go so that the good grass can grow and really reflect God's beauty.
I think an area I can get tripped up is saying, but God, I need this. Instead of saying, you know what I need, Lord. And so Satan is a deceiver. And so it's going to look good. It's going to be like, I need this to stick around for a while. I need more of this, and instead of asking God what he says that I need, which is him.
Right.
But a lot of times, like selfishness, it's so attractive.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it permeates us.
So you had typed out, you answered selfishness and pride, as you said, and then you said, well, what is the opposite? And you said it's to share what you have and be generous. Jesus' math is to like multiply that. Like, if we don't even think we even have anything, he's like, actually, you have it. Just put your hands out. Just put your things out. Don't you know you have it? So even if we're like scared to let things go, to sacrifice, as you talked about earlier, just put limits on things. Jesus says, just wait to see my Jesus math. Aren't you going to be surprised?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just thinking about that when you wrote
that you have.
Yeah, one of the things that God has impressed upon me over and over and over is, what do you have in your hands?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes along with us always striving for the next thing. And the scripture where it says, if you're faithful in little, you know, you'll be faithful with much. If I'm always, and it just reiterates what you said, that if I'm always looking for what I can get to or get more of, then I'm not even really thinking about what I already have, what's in my hand that I can give. Have I even given that yet?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're not going to get more. And so that's why I put the word generosity on there. So that's another one of the key components of growing in the Lord for me is being generous, is a heart of gratitude and then generosity. Gratitude, but being willing to give it away. So not possession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm wrapping my arms around this going, mine. So,
which is only possible because of our triune nature of our God.
Absolutely.
And being made in his image.
Yeah.
Are you ready to move to your harvest?
Yes.
Okay. These are, I'd love for you to just share answered prayers, God's faithfulness to your family, everyday graces and victories, or victories, however you want to share.
Yeah. You know, the 3 years ago, God called me out of the workplace, the workforce. There was a lot going on in our life at that point, and I lost my brother, and suddenly, and Jeff's mom was really ill and needed someone to care for her. And I left work. But those were, I mean, loss is loss. And it's always a loss. And the grief of losing my brother is still present. But Jeff's mom got better. And that season changed, and God really impressed upon me that the whole reason I left work was because he told me he had something new and different for me, and basically said, I didn't call you out of work to serve yourself so that you could live a life of leisure and luxury. I called you to serve me and to serve others. And the harvest, you know, I mentioned earlier that every time I see the answers to the prayers when someone's life is touched, when God allows me to relate to a woman that I'm sitting with, and the conversation is just amazingly relaxed and natural, and God's so in it that it blows me away. The season that we're in, where Jeff is such a harvest, where Jeff is able to provide for our family so that I can be in this space that God has called me into, the harvest is so beautiful. There's so many ways that I can see how he is, the harvest is being seen here. I can't even imagine sharing where I see the harvest without mentioning my children and my grandchildren.
Yeah.
And the fact that they are walking with the Lord, serving the Lord personally in their local church, and raising their children to love the Lord and in the admonition of the Lord. And that is a harvest of a lot of planting, pruning, and watering over the course of our lives. tending to that garden of family. And that's, it's just such a beautiful gift. It's just such a beautiful gift to be able to see that.
Yeah.
To be alive and present, to see that harvest in our family. My husband, the investment that we have made in our marriage and in our walk with the Lord together. I mentioned earlier the Bible reading, the sweetness of the time that we committed so many years ago. I don't even know how many years ago we just committed to, like, starting with just a sentence prayer together in the morning before he would go to work. And that has grown and grown and grown in time to become an hour, sometimes an hour and a half in the mornings, of studying the word together and praying together. And that is just, I'm so humbled by that, that is where we are and where God has brought us. It is not of things that we've done, but what he's done. And so, you know, the other thing that I came back around to is the fact that in years past, I put such emphasis and really idolized the relationship, our marriage, the relationship that I had with Jeff, or even Jeff himself, as like this savior of mine, put him in the wrong place. And we've worked through that, and God's pruned that part out of my life and helped me to see where God's place is, first and foremost, but also that the relationship that we have been given must be balanced. Our time, those sweet Bible study growth times, also has to be balanced with giving ourselves away and sharing that gift. And that brings us back to the harvest of being able to just pour into other marriages and help them along the way to grow in the same direction towards God and towards each other, so that they can then change the next generation and light up the world.
Thank you, Becky.
Yeah.
For coming and sharing all that. What did you bring tonight to share with us that is more personal to you?
Well, I believe that I have said it several times throughout this conversation without really saying it in this way, but what I brought was a song that has meant something to me since I was a high schooler, and it was actually written and recorded by Keith Green in the 70s. My brother introduced Keith Green to me probably in middle school. But the song, in my mind, it stands out being sung by my best friend in high school. She was a college student at the time. But it's written by Keith Green, and it's called Make My Life a Prayer to You. I'm not sure I can sing it without crying, so okay. I will read it.
Okay.
I might be able to sing it, but I'll read it for sure first. Make my life a prayer to you. I want to do what you want me to. No empty words, no white lies, no token prayers, no compromise. I want to shine the light you gave through your Son you sent to save us from ourselves and our despair. It comforts me to know you're really there. I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I guess I'll have to trust and just believe what you say. Oh, you're coming again, coming to take me away. I want to die and let you give your life to me so that I might live and share the hope you gave to me, the love that set me free. I want to tell the world out there you're not some fable or fairy tale that I've made up inside my head. You're God, the Son, and you've risen from the dead. And I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I guess I'll have to trust and just believe what you say. Oh, you're coming again. You're coming to take me away. I want to die and let you give your life to me so I might live and share the hope you gave to me, the love that set me free.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in the local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for His glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and His faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the Master Gardener is always at work, so let's yield to Him and grow where we're planted.